Welcome to Aspire, and thank you for joining me if you are listening on Christmas Day, this 25th day of December 2021. Probably not listening. You'll pick this up later in the week or before. Christmas is really it's a sad event that we've filled up with myth and beliefs and theories and lore, as it were. We make it out to be something that is really a party time, sentimental time, not really moments of insight. The best way to have a Christmas experience would be every day of your life to listen and to live in a certain portion of inner silence. I've always thought that the Christmas carol, Silent Night, Holy Night, was an interesting way of looking at the way we live with Christmas in us. There are so many myths about it. I don't really want to get into it. I've been doing this for 50 years, and I tried when I was teaching formally to bring into the Christmas experience something new. People didn't want it. We candle lighting, all sorts of things. Classical music, Christmas music, that didn't work. Nothing brings a person to that sobering moment of their life whereby they start to understand the nature of what it is to bring into their life something of the spiritual. And that is a very difficult thing for the average human being to even contemplate. So we've reduced Christmas down to what we've reduced it down to, which is a holiday. And we don't even recognize the fact that the birth of the body of the man Jesus was not on the 25th of December. And we don't care. We just want to have a party. I was sitting with some friends recently, just chit-chatting. And one of them said, you know, isn't it sad that we can't be nice to each other like people are nice now? You've heard that story over and over. Why can't we have a nicer culture, society, blah, blah, based on the idea of what Jesus taught? But if you really listen to what Jesus taught, really listen to it, you're not going to like him very much. And for the most part, people cherry pick what he said and live in little sentences that don't complete themselves in the bigger picture of it all. They just don't get what it means to be in the experience of Christ consciousness. And that is not something that most people are much interested in. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of practice. And the biggest part of the whole thing is that there's a huge sacrifice that has to be made in order to achieve the meaning of what Jesus was teaching, which was love. And to give up that love, to allow it to have power and presence within our life, I have to give up many things in my livingness. The way I approach my body, the way I live in my body, the posture upon which I sit within myself, what I regard as important, what I regard as unimportant, the whole thing. I have to look at everything in my life when I am sitting there contemplating the beauty of what this kind of man, this kind of person Jesus was and did teach. I consider him the most magnificent teacher that ever touched the planet Earth. In the short years of his life, his physical life, he taught the most precise and eloquent and elegant teachings of truth that any human being than any spiritual master has ever offered in that short amount of time. His Beatitudes, which I consider to be a masterpiece in living, in considering it as the blueprint for spiritual awakening, I find that most people are confused and dazed. And when I ask them about certain parts of it, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to be meek? What is pure in heart to you? When I ask people these things, they just shrug their shoulders and act as though it doesn't matter. But they're very, very quick to keep the traditions of Christmas that most people embrace to party on. And they don't even understand what this man, this beautiful man, was all about. I cannot abide in all of that myself with the hypocrisy of human beings. It's very, very difficult for me to use a man whose life was so rich in love, so rich in beauty, so profound in voice, and to confound his teachings with pettiness and pride and vanity and personal hatred. It's, for me, it's just over the top, and that's what I find people doing. I don't really see much choice in the matter with human beings. We don't look at his life, Jesus' life, as something that we look at or acknowledge as the meaning of our own existence. We just don't see it. So, with all this being said, and my foolish words here, I am sure at this Christmas time, while you're unwrapping presents and thinking about the new year coming up and what dinner's going to be like, or breakfast, whatever it is that you do to celebrate Christmas, that you're not really interested in the teachings that Jesus offered. Not really. And people who are my friends who are not in the practice, I have a few, believe it or not, they don't even care to know. They don't see it as significant. They do see the news as significant. They see social change as significant, but they don't see the teachings of spiritual awakening as being, well, relevant to themselves. So I just think it would be lovely, just really lovely, if we took some time to be meditative and to live in the quietude of our hearts at this juncture in our world where everything is just very, very difficult. And the world is a difficult place. There is no two ways about it. And with all the things that are going on socially and politically, if we ever needed something of the other shore, it is right now. There's no doubt about it. So I hope that you will spend a few moments today, instead of just eating yourself into oblivion or watching corny romantic Christmas movies, you might take a moment and ask yourself, what is the significance of my life? The real significance. You will find your mind straying around looking for that significance in other people, in being loved, maybe in some kind of sentimental mentality that tells you that the only thing that's really important is, you know, how people feel about you or your family or whatever. But there's something more that has been ignored. And that is the soul, the basic soul of each and every one of us. I know people like to think they have a soul. It's popular to think that one has a soul. And it serves the purpose of making a person feel important, or that they have a spiritual side that is important. But we don't live from our soul. We really don't have one until we awaken. Once we are deeply awakened, then the soul becomes obvious to us. Until then, it is only a word. It doesn't mean anything to most people. Not a single thing. And there is nothing I can say, and there is nothing I can do to urge you to move towards your soul rather than towards the beckoning of the human heart, which is slaughtering your life without you really being aware of it. The human heart contains many, many compartments of what I call malice, just basic malice. And the reason for that is because the human heart is based in DNA and survival. But one of the most important aspects of the reveal of the authentic heart is that we understand it is connected to the soul. In fact, it is the soul. In the Beatitudes that Jesus offered, which again I consider to be the most important teachings the world has ever seen or heard, he talks about being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If there is anything that any one of us needs to obtain, it is the state of mercy. The goodness of the heart and the state of the mercy of our being. I need mercy, you need mercy. It is something that comes about through compassion and loving forgiveness. So maybe today would be a wonderful day to take a few moments aside from the hustle and bustle of the family and getting that dream gift that you think is so important to your life, making these dream gifts come true. To begin to see the authentic within you, the quiet authentic. To live in silence for a few moments, just to allow for love to happen. Not the human love, but the deeper, more profound love. The love that exists between thoughts, between the breath. The love that exists beyond the desires, as Buddha called it, to become awakened. It's called wakefulness. Can you treasure mercy? Can you treasure it to such a degree that you can forgive? To do this, I must transcend my mind, my body, my emotions, and I cannot let them complicate my life with greed, vanity, and pride. This is a spiritual discipline, and like I said, there is nothing that Jesus taught that didn't have some measure of, shall we say, sacrifice. And the biggest thing that most of us have to sacrifice is our personal hatred, our vengeance, our pride, our vanity. So I'm going to give you a few moments here. I'm going to let you go a few moments early and wind up the program. And I hope you will take some time inside of yourself just to let love live you deeply and profoundly. And I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning, as per usual. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.